Pastor Varun and Pastor Dala Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
We're going to learn how to pray again. Actually, it's a very simple message, but it really changes my life. This message really changed the way I pray, and it changes how I really come to God. Today, we're going to learn about how to pray effectively, and the topic is about faith. We need to pray by faith. In James chapter 5, 13 to 16, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. If the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Today we'd like to learn about faith in the subject of prayer. When you went to the camp, you learned about love. I find out that Christianity is very simple. In fact, we don't want to make it too complicated. Christianity is about love and faith. If you can walk in love and you walk by faith, it will work. God is love, and God wants us to approach him by faith. Amen. So if we want to really, really have an effective prayer, we need to learn about how to pray in faith, and we need to walk in love. And we want to follow the Bible. The Bible is the best handbook for us. Learn how to do whatever in our life, we follow the Bible. This is the standard. This is the truth. So we're going to learn from the Bible how to pray. But before that, I'd like to review a little bit. The Bible says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. You can see here that the things that as Christians we need to do, we need to learn to do the praying ourselves. You know, don't call the prayer line all the time. Don't call the pastor at midnight and say, pray for me. Whatever you face, when you get into trouble, you learn how to pray yourself. Do your own praying. Don't put the responsibility to somebody else. Amen. Some people think that they hire a pastor to pray for them. No, you can do your own praying. Amen. When you get into trouble, before I went to Thailand, I began to have a sore throat and coughing. And I know right away there is an attack of the enemy because we're going to go to spread the fire of revival there. So right away, I pray. I command in the name of Jesus and the sickness went away. Amen. We can pray for ourselves. We don't need to depend on other people all the time. But if you need somebody, people to pray for you, thank God for the local church. Because in the local church, we have brother and sister that can pray for you. Amen. But if you are happy, what you do? When you're happy, you sing songs and praise to the Lord. Amen. How many people believe that every Christian can sing? Yes, everyone can sing, but not everyone should come to the microphone. Everyone can sing, but not everyone should do the recording. Amen. Maybe Vang Chi can do the recording, but not Pastor Lau. If I sing in the CD, people might shut it off because I'm not a singer. But I can sing to the Lord when I'm happy. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you're happy, the Bible says you sing. The Bible says in verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church. The word sick here means somebody who is so weak that cannot help themselves. Very weak. So if you're really weak, what you do? You can call the church. You can call Pastor Caesar. You can call you can call Pastor Tyson. You can call Pastor Neil and Mary Jo. You can call all the pastors and elders who come and pray for you. Amen. You notice that I don't mention my name. Hallelujah. I will be the last one that you call. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. So you can call the pastor and they can come and pray for you. Thank God for the church family. You know what? I love the local church. I love the local church. Every time I have a chance to go to visit any local church, I love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the family of God. You know, I always tell people that if you love Jesus, you love the church. It's like this. If I marry Da, I don't marry only her head. Is that right? How many people want to marry only the head of a woman? Raise your hand up. I think if you raise your hand, I need to do brain transplant. I need to do brain surgery on you. Because if you love a lady, you love not only the head, you love the whole body. Is that right? The same thing, Jesus is the head. And the church is the body. When you really say, I love Jesus, you love the local church. And the local church is like a family that we can encourage one another. We can bless one another. We can sow to one another. We are a real family of God. Amen. The church is not just an organization, but it's a family. Amen. And the Lord will move the heart of people to bless one another, to pray for one another. Amen. So I love the church of God. I want to encourage you to really love one another and pray for one another all the time. If anybody's sick and cannot help themselves, you go to visit that person and pray for that person. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at James chapter 5. I like this passage very much. It's really changed my life. James chapter 5, verses 15 to 18, the Bible says, and the prayer of faith, everyone say faith. Don't just throw your prayer out there without faith. You need to pray with faith. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. I discovered a secret here in learning the Bible about prayer, how to pray by faith. Actually, I just exercised it a few days ago. I called somebody and she said that she's really having a bad pain. And she prayed and prayed and didn't go away. And I exercised what I'm teaching you today. You know what happened? At the end of the prayer, the pain is gone right away. Because we learn how to pray by faith. Amen. The prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You see, the power of prayer can bring healing. How many people believe that it's God's will to heal people? How many people believe that it's God's perfect will that you live a healthy life until the last day of your life? How many people believe that you can grow old and sit on a chair and then go with the Lord without any sickness and disease? I believe that. I believe in divine health. I believe that God is going to keep us healthy. But we need to fight with the fight of faith. Amen? To keep ourselves healthy. Look at verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, he liked you and me. He has passion. He has feeling. He failed sometime. He didn't know everything. He's a human being like you and me. And he prayed earnestly. Everyone say earnestly. That it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. How many people believe that the earnest prayer of a righteous person can change the situation on earth? How many people believe that you can dictate what happened on earth by your prayer? In other words, you are not dictated by circumstances. You can dictate circumstances in your life. Amen. You can pray with faith and change the situation in your home, change the situation in your business. You can change the situation in your city. Amen. How many people believe? Let's say at the same time, I believe that our prayer can change the situation, can change the atmosphere. Amen. The prayer of the righteous man can change the cycle of rain, can change the cycle of atmosphere on earth. You see, this man prayed for the rain not to come. It didn't come. And then he prayed again. The rain will come. The rain will come back. So you can see that God answered the prayer. Prayer give God the legal right to act and move on earth. This earth was given to mankind. God said that I give you dominion over the earth. After we came back to Jesus Christ, we became the God of this world again. At that time when the devil stole the right from Adam and Eve, Satan became the God of this world. But now we are kings and priests with Christ, in Jesus Christ. We sit with him in the heavenly realms. We are the kings. We are the priests on earth here. And we become the God of this world in a sense. I'm not saying capital G-O-D. I'm talking about authority. And we can give the right to God by prayer, legal right by praying that God, could you move on this earth for us? Amen. So everyone say prayer.
Prayer.
Gives God
the
legal right to move and to act and to demonstrate his power. Amen. I like Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible say like this. The earnest heartfelt, mean from your sincerity, from your heart, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous. How many people like power? I like power. Amen. Hallelujah. Make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So if you want to see tremendous power of God move on earth, you need to know how to pray effectively. How many people want to have power to draw people to Jesus Christ? How many people want to have power to cast out demons? How many people want to have power to heal the sick? Oh, I want it. I want to see the blind see, people come out from the wheelchair. Amen. How many people want to have power to command the mountain to move? Amen. How many people want to have power to pray for your children and they all get saved? Amen. You want power, is that right? And the power is in your prayer. The power is you know how to pray to God effectively. Amen. So I encourage everybody to seek the power of God. And it's a privilege that we can approach the throne room of God and pray to Him and He listens to us. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what prayer means? Prayer means communion with God. Prayer means fellowshipping with God. When we talk about communion and fellowship, it means reciprocal. You talk and He talk. You talk and He talk. Some Christians don't understand. They talk, but they never listen to God. Let me ask this question before I go on. Who know the most? Between you and God, who know more? That who should do more talking? Is that right? Should be the one who know less talk more, or should be the one who know more talk more? The one who know more. In fact, if you talk less and listen more, you're going to save a lot of headache. You're going to save a lot of chaos in your life. You're going to save a lot of problem in your life by listening and listening and commune with God. And He's going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell you direction of your life. He's going to tell you what kind of people you should associate with. Just listen and listen. Do more listening than talking. Amen. So a lot of people think that prayer is just talking. No, prayer is also listening because it's reciprocal. It's fellowship, sharing. You're sharing your heart, and He share your heart. He share His knowledge with you, and you share your concern with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. The big key of effective prayer, listen carefully, and this applies to everything, applied to worship a while ago. The big key to effective prayer is this: awareness of the presence of God, the awareness of who you are talking to, the awareness of what kind of God you talk to, and the awareness that He listens to you and He will answer your prayer. Sometimes when we worship God on Sunday, worship is a form of prayer, actually. Or sometimes when we pray, you know what happened? Our mind is somewhere else. Our mind is with some movie, with some business, with girls, or, you know, I'm talking about young men, not me. Talking about some of you, not me. I have only one mind for Da. Okay? You think about those and this and that. That's why your prayer is not effective. Because when you pray, you focus on God. You have the awareness that God is listening to you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's powerful. He is happy to answer you. He's a good God. He's love. He's merciful. He's not judgmental. He's not critical. He's not a God that come and just point finger to you and hate you and do this, all this stuff. He's a good God. Amen. A while ago when I was standing there worshiping God, you know, I don't care what happened around me. My eyes is on the Father who sits on the throne, and I saw Jesus standing on the right hand, and they just keep telling how great you are. And the awareness of who God is and the awareness of God's presence in that place. Amen. That is the real prayer. Amen. So how many people want your prayer to be effective? You need to have the awareness of God, who He is. Amen. And His presence. A lot of time people make prayer as religion. Make prayer like just a tradition. How do you feel if somebody come and talk to you and say, "Hi, how are you?" But the eyes look at somewhere else. "Hi, how are you? How are you?" Sometimes Christians are doing like that. They pray like this. They say, "Oh God, oh, you know, I hope you help me." They look around. They did not even focus on God. They just think about something else. They think about their education, their job, whatever. You need to really focus on God when you pray. You look at His eyes in the spirit. You look at His eyes and He look at your eyes. It's a communication. Sometimes I'm too busy with typing my sermon at home and Pastor Da walk in to talk to me in the den. And she tried to talk to me and I tried to talk to her, but I was talking like this. And after a while, I know that she was not happy with me because I didn't look at her eyes. You know what I mean? If we're going to talk, we have to look at each other's eyes and communicate. Have focus, undivided attention. All the wives say. Amen. All the husbands say, repent. You repent, okay? Don't look at the TV when you talk to your wife. Just look at her eyes. How many people heard this kind of sentence in America? When I came to America, I heard this kind of sentence. I put in 2 hours of prayer. Have you ever heard that? Oh, that day we have a fast and pray meeting in our church. That fast and pray meeting lasts about 1.5 hours. I really put in 1.5 hours of prayer in the church. Have you ever heard that? I heard that all the time. I put in. Sound very religious. Sound like, oh, so good you put in. Let me ask this question. If I say to you, and Pastor Da overheard what I say, you know, friend, I really put in 1 hour to talk to Da. How's she going to feel? She feel that what I talk to her 1 hour is a job. It's just an obligation. It's not a relationship. When you have relationship, it's fun. You don't look at the watch. You don't care about how long it takes. You just keep talking. You forget. Some of you have, like Henry, you have girlfriend now. When you talk to your girlfriend on the phone, you forget. Even 1 a.m., you don't know 1 a.m., is that right? You keep talking. And then after a while, you look at the watch. Oops, ooh, 1 a.m., I talked to her 3 hours already. I didn't even know. Is that right? Hallelujah. Why? Because it's a loving relationship. Prayer is the same thing. When you talk to God, it's a loving relationship. It's not about putting 1 hour into prayer. It's communion. It's fellowship. It's fun. It's good. We need to change our attitude in the prayer. It's not a job. It's not a religion. It's not a ritual thing to do. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. I want to warn you about this kind of prayer is not God's will. God is not going to listen to you. Look at Luke chapter 18, 9 to 14. Also, He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Pray with himself. You notice, not with God, not to God. God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Do you notice that the first man prayer with himself? He talked about, I'm good. I pay tithe. I'm a good member of the church. I am anointed. What kind of awareness did he have? He has the awareness of himself. He's self-conscious in his prayer. It's about me, me, me. And many of you sitting there say, oh, pastor, I don't do those kind of things. This is the Pharisees. I don't do this thing. I don't say, I do, I that, I this. And I tell you, you can do this kind of thing on another way. That is a more like a boasting way. But another way of I, a self-conscious prayer. It's not God-conscious. Self-conscious prayer can be like this. Can be like this. Father, oh, I'm really poor. Oh, I'm in trouble. I'm broke. I need a lot of money. Oh, I'm depressed. I need your help. But on a negative side. So you pray and you focus on your problem. The whole time you're talking about your problem. That's why God never answers your prayer, because you're just talking to yourself about your problem. Or maybe sometimes even talk over the shoulder of God to somebody else to give you money. I tell you, don't manipulate. Don't use God's name to manipulate people. When you go to God, you should just confess the word. You just believe God. You are wonderful. You are such a good God. I believe you take care of me. That's it. Don't focus. Keep bewailing. Keep recounting your problems and your problems and crying and complaining about your problem. That is not prayer. That is complaining. That is being a baby. Amen. Just tell God how good he is and trust God and believe God that God is going to take care of you. That's why a lot of prayer are like a waste motions. We call in vain. Prayer in vain. They just pray, but actually they talk to themselves. And God is not in the scene at all. They don't even focus on themselves. They don't even focus on God. They focus on their own problem. You need to focus on who you're talking to. You need to focus on how great he is. You need to focus on his promise. You need to focus on how wonderful he is, not your own problem. You know that you don't talk to just a king of a country. When you pray, you're talking to the Almighty God. You're talking to the Creator. You're talking to the King of all kings. You're talking to the King who sits on the throne and who can control everything on earth here. Amen? You need to know who you're talking to. When you pray, don't do vain repetitions. Don't repeat the same sentence again and again and again that you memorize. That is not prayer. Prayer is not counting beats. It's not shaking your body. It's not spinning wheels. Prayer is communion with God. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. That's what the Bible says. Don't say, oh my God. Don't say, Jesus. That's you use God's name in vain. When you talk Jesus or God, it means you either talk to him or you talk about him. Don't just exclaim, Jesus. Oh my God. Jesus, Mary, and Martha. Something like that. Don't exclaim like that. Amen. Hallelujah. I heard sometime in the operating room, people exclaim, Jesus. Don't use his name in vain. When you pray, who you go through? Let's look at the Bible here. John chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Who do you pray to? God, the Father. And in whose name? How many mediators do we have to go to the Father? Should we pray to Mary? Should we pray to Paul that Paul would tell the Father? Should we pray to an image? Should we pray to a picture or a cross? Who should we pray to? Directly to the Father. We can enter the throne room of God, the throne of grace, directly in the name of Jesus. Should you pray through a pastor? No. You can pray to God yourself. Actually, as a pastor, it's my job to help you to grow up to the point that you could depend on the Holy Spirit and hook up to the Father yourself. And eventually, you don't need me anymore. That's my job. I don't want you to depend on me. I want you to go to God yourself and pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. There's only one mediator. Don't pray to Mary. Don't pray to any saint. Don't pray to Paul, to Peter, to Apostle John. Pray to the Father directly in the name of Jesus. Who is the best praying person in the world? Jesus. Jesus is the best model of prayer. Look at what he says here in Matthew chapter 5. I'm reviewing right now. I'm not coming to the message yet. So, message, another hour. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. And do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Before we talk about faith, I want to remind you again one more time. According to the book of Galatians chapter 5, faith will not work without love. Faith working through love. Don't hold grudges against people. Love people. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Forgive. Love people. If you want your prayer to be effective, you need to love your enemy. Love those who persecute you. And don't hold grudges against anybody at all. Before the sun go down, forgive. Love people. Amen. Don't hold grudges against your husband, against your wife, against your kids, and against your pastor or anybody. Love them. Release them. They don't owe you anything. They don't owe you even apology. They don't owe you anything. Just release them. Bless them. And if you can do that, your prayer will get answered. Amen. Before you pray in faith. Now I'm going to come to the scripture about faith. Look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. The Bible says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You receive because you believe. Jesus spoke these words to teach us about prayer. He emphasized that when you pray and you want to get the answer, to get the result, you need to believe. Look at another scripture here. Mark chapter 11, verse 22-24. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For as surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, verse 24, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. You can see that in this passage, there are two things going on here. Both aspects of talking really work when you have faith. The first one talking about speaking and commanding. How many people sometimes face mountain of your life? Mountain of sickness, mountain of poverty, mountain of relationship that block between you and your success, block between you and your ministry, block between you and your victory. There's a mountain in front of you. Did Jesus say like this? You come to the Father and say, Father in heaven, remove this mountain for me. Did he say that? Did he say that? Come to the Father and ask the Father to kick out the devil for you. No, the Bible says, resist the devil. I taught about this already last time. What we learn is that bad things do not come from God. The Bible says in the book of James that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good gift comes from the Father of light. So every bad thing, mountain, sickness, disease, problem in your family, whatever bad things, do not come from God. They come from what? The enemy. They come from the enemy. And God said that whatever comes from the enemy, you don't need to ask the Father to take away from you. What do? You have authority. Did Jesus say you have authority? I have given you authority to trample on the scorpion and snake. You have authority in the name of Jesus. What do? You exercise your authority. You are the king and the priest on earth here in your own territory. I am the king in my house. So I can speak the situation for my kids. I'm the king. When I say king, not capital king, I'm talking about small letter king. I'm the king in this church. I can speak the situation in this church. I can command things that doesn't come from God to go away. So when you get sick, what do you do? In Jesus' name, sickness, go away right now. You cannot be on my body in Jesus' name. You command the mountain to go away. I pray for my son all the time, Paul. I command all the time in the name of Jesus that this problem of reading, he was slow in reading, in understanding. So I say, in Jesus' mighty name, this sickness, this problem must go away from my son. I use authority in my house for my son. You understand what I'm talking about? So whatever doesn't come from God, you use authority to command it in the name of Jesus. And you believe that you receive it. You speak it. Everyone says, speak. There is a time to say, and there is a time to pray. Many Christians don't understand. They keep praying. Oh, God, take sickness away from me. God, take sickness away from me. God already did 2,000 years ago. You don't need to ask him anymore. He died on the cross. He paid a price already. He healed you already 2,000 years ago. What do you need to do? You command. You demand it. You require it. You say, go away, sickness. I don't want you in my body. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Speak against it. Rebuke it. Command it to go away. But how about good things? What do we do? That is verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, you ask what? The Father in the name of Jesus for good things. Believe that you receive and you will have them. So if you want a job, what do you do? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I ask you for a job. And I command in Jesus' name, debt and poverty go away from my life. For example, you have back pain. You say, in Jesus' mighty name, I ask for a new back, a new disc. And I command this back pain to go away in Jesus' name. You ask good things from God, but you command bad things to go away. You don't need to ask God to do it for you. You just command it to go away. Let me repeat this scripture one more time. Have faith in God, for truly I say to you, whoever say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That is what? Command the mountain to go away. And then verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That is asking God for good things. How many people are single in this room? Single. How many people don't have the gift of celibacy? Mean you don't have the gift of being single. Raise your hand up. The rest don't raise hand. You have the gift of celibacy? People who don't raise hand, you want to be single forever? How many people want to get married one day, in other words? What do? You want to have a godly wife, godly husband? What do? Ask. Is that right? Ask God. Don't sit around, do nothing. Ask God. God, give me the right spouse. How many people in debt right now and want to get out of debt? How many people want to get out of debt? What do? Ask God for prosperity. Ask God for blessing, financial blessing. Why you keep asking, what do? Why you keep commanding the debt to go away and asking God, what do? You keep obeying God. You keep sowing the seed. Keep sowing the seed of love, sowing the seed of finances, and keep obeying God. And God going to bless you. God going to answer your prayer. Keep obeying God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at now, how do you know that you can have faith in your prayer? Before we go to that, let me explain this phrase a little bit. Very important. Listen carefully. Believe that you receive them. In the Greek language, literally, what it means is this. Can you walk to me with your Bible? Pastor Hardy, can I have your Bible? Okay, look at my action. I take it to myself. This is mine, and I walk away. This is a picture of believe that you receive. So, thank you very much. So every time when I pray for something, I give you an example. 2 days ago, I prayed for that sister on the phone. She had headache, severe headache. When I pray in Jesus' name, I command that your headache must go away right now. In Jesus' name, in my mind, in my spirit, I see the picture of a normal, healthy lady. And I saw that the headache just get out of her head. I saw that in my spirit, gone. You understand what I mean? You receive, you take it already. And you walk away. It's mine. Whether you feel it or not, whether you feel like it or not, whether you see it or not, but in your spirit, you see yourself holding and walk away. You got it already. This is what we talk about belief. You believe you receive it even though you haven't seen it happen. One time there is a Japanese student come to my home. We have snow. So the church was shut down. We cannot have a service on Sunday here. Snow all over the place. So all this international student came to my house and she sat there and she said, oh, I have back pain. I really have back pain. What can I do? I say, okay, let's do this. I'm going to teach you how to do it. I say, let's raise your hand up to God. He did. And I say, okay, see yourself receiving the healing from Jesus on the cross. See it. And you see yourself that the back pain give to Jesus. Exchange. He got your sickness on the cross and you got the healing. So she did. She like this. And I say, and I asked her to say, in Jesus' name, I receive healing. I command this back pain to go away. I exchange it at the cross 2,000 years ago. It happened and I see it. I'm healed. And she did it. You know, after she opened her eyes, the back pain was gone. Faith. Everyone say, I take it. To myself. It's mine now. And I walk away. You see the picture? Every time you pray, that's what you do. You put it in your pocket and you walk away. Whether you see it or not, whether you feel it or not, whether money come or not, whether healing, the fever go away or not, you don't care. You believe it. Amen? That's what I did before I went to Thailand. I have sore throat. I cough. I say, in Jesus' name, I command this to go away. And I see myself healthy, strong, no hoarse of the voice, no coughing. And it went away. It didn't go on. I did not need to take any medication. It went away by faith. Many of you say, oh, wow, this is sound weird. Is it true? That's what in the Bible. Amen? Amen. I'm not teaching you neurosurgery. I'm teaching you the Bible. I'm not teaching you science. I'm teaching you spiritual thing. God thing is spiritual thing. If you learn how to hook up to the spiritual thing, you're going to see the result. And the spiritual thing will impact your physical body. Amen. How many people believe that there are spirits? There are things in the spiritual realm. There are things in the spiritual realm. How do you know that you can get the answer? Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. How do you know that you can get that feeling? Grab it, put it in your pocket, and walk away. You know you get it for sure. You know that prayer, you get it for sure before you walk away. By knowing God's will. A lot of Christians are doing like this. They pull out a bucket of prayer requests. And they pull out and they throw. Keep throwing, throwing, throwing. Hopefully, maybe 1 or 5 out of 100 prayer gonna hit. Just pray. Hopefully, one of them will hit. So that's how when a lot of people pray, they don't even know what God's will is. They just keep praying, hopefully 1 out of 100 hit. That's good for me. That is not the way you should pray. If you don't know the Bible, actually, if you don't know the will of God, almost I can say like this, you don't have the right to pray. Because your prayer will not be answered. You need to know the will of God. And how do you know the will of God? Read the Bible. Study the Bible, listen to teaching, CD, study the Bible, read the Bible a lot, study the Bible a lot, and the Bible contains the will of God. Is it the will of God that we all will be healthy and strong? Is it the will of God that we are anointed? Is it the will of God in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 that the family will love one another and happy? Did God ordain family to have fight and quarrel and divorce? No. The will of God recorded is recorded in the Bible. If you pray according to the will of God, the Bible says in verse 15, and if you know, everyone say, I know, that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. I tell you, if you listen to this teaching carefully and start to practice it, it will change your life. You know the will of God. You pray according to the will of God. And you believe, you take it to your own, put in your pocket, and walk away by faith. The answer of prayer will come into reality maybe the next day, maybe the next hour, maybe the next minute. Whatever, it doesn't matter. You believe and you stand on your faith. You don't let the circumstances, you don't let the symptoms dictate you. You go by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Hallelujah. And don't worry about anything. You just trust God and have faith in God. A lot of time, people pray and don't get the answer. And they think that God is not there. God doesn't care. No. It's not about God doesn't care or God is not there. God is there and God cares. But they don't know how to pray. And that's why the prayer never gets answered. And they blame on God. Don't blame God. I think our job is to learn how to pray correctly, biblically. And one of the ways to pray correctly is to pray by faith, by knowing the will of God. Amen? How many people promise that you're going to read the Bible on a regular basis? I was so blessed by the testimony of Pastor Maria. She grew up with her grandma. And her grandma is a very devout Christian in Indonesia. The grandma was, when she was very old, she couldn't do much. She was very weak. So when she was sitting down on a chair, she would ask her granddaughter to bring the Bible and still read the Bible until the last day of her life. She keep reading the Bible. She has no excuses that I'm too old, or my eyes are not good, or I'm too weak. She reads the Bible every day. I was so touched to hear that wow, what a testimony. It really inspired me that I need to teach my kids and the church to read the Bible every single day. Know the Bible. Seek the Word of God. Amen. And then you will know the will of God. And then your prayer will be able to be mixed with faith. You take it, and then you get the result. How many people want every single prayer of your life get result? How many people want to be that person? The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous person make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Are you righteous? Are you righteous people? You're righteous people by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by your own good deeds. So if you know how to pray by faith and in love, your prayer will get answered. I want to end this sermon by encouraging all of you. I don't want you to just get the head knowledge in about prayer. I want to challenge you to be praying people. Can you pray every day? Can you really talk to God all the time? I want to see our church to be a praying church. Amen. Pray every day. Talk to God all the time. Pray in your car. Go to the prayer meeting. Pray in your care group. Husband and wife, sit down and pray together. It's powerful, I tell you. When husband and wife can sit down, kneel down and pray together. I and Dad try to do that all the time. We try to kneel down before we go to bed and we just pray for the member, pray for people, pray for pastors. You know, we believe that when we pray, God can answer us. Let us practice, become a doer of the Word of God. Amen. Everyone say, I will not be just listener. I will be doers of the Word of God. Amen. Promise God to pray more? How many people promise God to pray more? And then your Christian life will not be boring anymore. You're going to see a lot of miracles, see a lot of exciting things because your prayer will change the situation in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much for your teaching from your word, Father. We believe, Lord, that your word that come out from your mouth will not go in vain. It will change us. It will produce fruit. It will change us to become more and more like Christ, Father. We want to follow the footstep of Christ. We want to be a praying person, Lord, that will change the nation, will change the situation around us for the sake and the glory of God. Father, make this church, your church, become a praying church, Father. Lord, that we will not pray in vain. We will not produce just wasted motions, but we will produce result. We will see the Lord, the power of prayer in our life, personally, corporately, and nationwide, Lord. Father, we believe, Lord, that many nations will be shaken because your people pray for those nations, Father. Thank you, Lord. We believe you. We trust you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's practice here. How many people have some need in your life that you want God to bless you? Why don't you stretch your hand up here, up to heaven? And have a picture that when you ask God in the name of Jesus, you take it to your own and you receive already. Hallelujah. Have a picture that the Father, in the name of Jesus, hands that blessing to you. And you grab it in your spirit and you take it toward you and say, this is mine. Have that picture in your spirit right now. Maybe you are praying for your kids, maybe for your health, maybe for your finances. Take it. Oh, the glory is here. Yes, God's glory. By faith. We thank you, Lord, for giving us good things, perfect things. We thank you, Lord, for the name of Jesus, that we can approach you, Lord. We can come to the throne of grace with boldness, with confidence, Lord, that you love your people, you love us so much. Father, we receive by faith right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.